Go to James a minute. James 1:4. Spiritual sloth is a phenomena where you rationalize a scripture or a position by saying you will be there someday, or it must not mean what I think it means. Natural sloth is bad enough, but spiritual sloth is totally and completely untenable. Most of your problems in this group as a body, almost without exception, are the fruit of spiritual sloth. Now we're gonna hit you right between the big toes right now. The scriptures say to be perfect. Be ye perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. What the hell are you going to do about that one? Well, that means something else. Well, maybe I'll get raptured. I heard Jimmy Swaggart. I almost threw a shoe through the television. Jimmy Swaggart, last night. Does anybody feel like defending him? Jimmy Swaggart said last night that the purpose of the rapture was so that you would be perfect.
Like a Christian, huh?
How's that?
The purpose of the rapture is that that's when the perfected, the idea of his idea of perfect would take place. Do you understand? He's got things backwards. It's heresy upon heresy. He thinks salvation is the end result of the walk. Therefore, he can get by with preaching pablum. Therefore, at the end, when you've just sort of hung around long enough trying to be good and doing nice little God stuff, then God's going to come down and zap you. And in that zapping, he calls the rapture. He's going to take you up, and then you're perfect. You understand the problem? The problem is it's a denial of the purpose of time and space. Now, I want you to be confronted tonight with the idea that the scriptural demand, the demand of God, is that you be perfect. Now, what are you going to do with it?
You can't do anything unless it's already finished.
Yeah, but I don't want to get... If anybody gives me a spiritual answer, I'm going to hit them between the nose or the something. I want you to tell me, because your spiritual answer is not real. It becomes an instrument or an excuse for your own sloth. You must be confronted with something. Be ye holy even as your heavenly Father is holy. Be ye perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now tell me about those two positions. They're both the same, by the way. How are you rationalizing that? Tell me how you're confronted with that. Now you will tell me, I don't want this to turn into a bull session, so let me give you the answers that you would probably give me. That's good. One of them is Doug's answer. Well, when I see that it's finished, then, and I accept the burnt offering, then I'm perfect. Then 5 seconds later, he's worrying about himself. And so it makes his answer a lie. Not just a little bit of untruth, it makes it a lie because he is living the leaven of the Pharisees. And you've caused the burnt offering to be of none effect the moment, 5 seconds later, after you have said that your life is perfect because the burnt offering is accepted, your life is holy because of what the one offering of Christ. If 5 seconds or 5 minutes or 5 days later you put your eyes back on yourself when you're blindsided by a 6-year-old kid, then your statement, your words to God about what you think perfect are, your words to me, your words to the body, are a lie, and you're living in spiritual sloth. You understand? Am I communicating?
I know what it's like to be fucked up. Go on. Please go on.
I want you to all understand what I've just said.
In other words, any time you're not believing, it's as if you never believe.
You've never
believed.
That's
never,
good.
Okay.
I mean, it's not really good.
It's not.
But, sort of. But see, I wondered how you could say to Pam the other night, you've never believed. Because I thought that I had seen Pam believe before. Based on what you're saying now, it makes sense.
Okay. Now,
stay there, so right.
To stay in a position where you spiritualize your unbelief, we're talking, God's going to visit you when you do that. You don't want God to visit you.
Yeah, okay.
Now, we're at a point now in terms of our understanding where the way is getting narrower and narrower, the pathway is getting steeper and steeper, and unbelief under any guise is no longer acceptable behavior.
It's like using the doctrine to rationalize your unbelief. That's what we did.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
You thought you wanted to hear about burnt offerings, didn't you? You can't stick your tongue out at the rabbi. No, you can't.
The way it's getting steeper, I'm short-winded, and I have bruises all over my leg.
It does seem like when I turn my eyes on myself, it's worse now than when I turn my eyes on myself.
Yeah, because you see better. You've taken off the rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
You've seen the condition of the flesh. You've smelled the vomit. Well, the only way you'll stop looking at it and give it importance is to put your face down in there and eat it for a while.
I do that too.
Well, then we have to go and eat some stuff that comes out another end in the spirit so that you will see how stupid it is to give breath to the waste product of the spirit.
Are you accepting guesses still?
What? I didn't know what he said.
I thought I knew. I figured I'd shut him down.
He just said it's
not even much fun.
I don't care what it is, Tom. It's going to be wrong. It's
not even much fun. He's got a chance right there.
Why not?
Tom, I love you.
Never mind, I withdraw my card. Pick up where you left off.
The chair does not recognize Tom Brooks.
All right.
James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, again, my brethren is a term of endearment, and it's not a term to be used. It's you're talking to someone who you know, who it's been tested, you've been through the fire with, someone out of the same womb. My brethren, count it the highest joy. Here it says count it all joy. In the Greek it says count it the highest possible joy. Higher than climaxing. Count it the highest joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now either, that's really dumb. Count it the highest joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various difficult testings. Remember the word for temptations, that is thlespis. I love that word. In the Greek, and it means you're being squeezed out of a tube, just like a toothpaste, except the hole is only 1 micron thick.
Yeah.
And you're being squeezed through that tube. It's tight. We're talking tight. Count it the highest joy when you fall into that testing. Big time. You cannot possibly do this until you have apprehended you cannot understand the book of James until you've understood and apprehended the burnt offering.
That's my problem.
Count it the highest joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, this is why you count it the highest joy. Knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. Patience means what? Steadfast endurance. It means abiding with knowledge, abiding in knowledge, abiding in revelation. What does that mean? It means obedience, hearing under, no matter what the circumstance is. No matter what possible thing can come against you, the greatest doubts of your conscious mind, the greatest testings of being hit blindside, the greatest need that you can imagine, the greatest, highest that you can imagine in any arena, you're to count as the highest joy. Because then you have entered the realm of why time and space exist for the first time. And time and space are now extant for you because you've apprehended or begin to apprehend the offerings. You can now come to the total and complete understanding that time and space for you is that you are no longer the subject of the sentence. God is the subject of the sentence. Think about it. Now you can begin to be of value to God, finally. And it's God's highest joy. And so the arena by which that takes place is less than important. The timing in which that takes place is less than meaningful. The place that it takes place is less than anything. It's the singular fact that now you know what the gospel is. It's good. It's not good news to man. It's bad news to man. But it's mind-blowingly good news to the Father. Do you all apprehend what I'm talking about? Count it the highest joy when you fall into diverse temptations. This is something that's so totally and completely in opposition to what modern religion is, it's not even funny. It's so totally and completely in opposition to what the highest Babylon of modern religion can do. All that religion does is teach you how to escape the diverse temptations. How to make your life at ease in the diverse temptations, or how to get rid of them, how so you won't have to suffer them. So what has modern man done? All that mankind has done is invent things to keep him from an experiencing of the diverse temptations that are the predicate of the purpose of time and space. And he invents systems of thought. He invents alphabets. He invents science, he invents cities, buildings, air conditioning, airplanes, Holiday Inns, everything, so that you can escape the diverse temptations.
And he invents God.
And he creates a God that is within that framework of that idolatry. Count it the highest joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You cannot do that until you've apprehended the burnt offering, or even apprehended that the possibility of the burnt offering existed. Then all of a sudden, in a mystical point in time, you stop being the subject of your life. I am so sick and tired of you being the subject of your life. I don't care how sincere you get. Because as long as you are the subject of your life, the moment the testing that will come upon you by being publicly identified with a doctrine, the moment it hits, you will scatter like thieves in the night. Because you have tried to come up as a hireling. You've gone through the wrong door, no matter how much revelation you have. You understand? You know, Larry King Show, some 980 radio stations. And it's on the CNN network, probably several thousand cable networks around the country and around America. They call me today, out of the blue, wanted me to be on tonight. I don't even know how they found my name. But right now, you know, and they decided they'd go a different approach and have me on later. I keep wanting the forum, but God says, wait. Wait until that this people will not be destroyed. I'm like Esau. I want to take you in quickly. And God is seeing with the eyes of Jacob, and he says, no, there's too many little ones. They'll be destroyed if we go in quickly. Can you finally see the stench of you being the subject of your life? Harry, what's going on?
I don't know. When you said the words, no, there are too many little ones that will be destroyed, so I'm just... It's going...
Let it go. I mean, don't fight the dam. Praise your name, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, make this meet. I keep hearing over and over. Larry says, I've been running uphill about Bruce from a million to things. Yeah. What do you mean it's going to get steeper? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The only time you will understand and be able to proceed from this point on in the book of James is to have apprehended the burnt offering, knowing that because of the offering of Christ, by that one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing.
Who has sanctified you? Who has sanctified you? Perfected them that are sanctified. Who is sanctified?
Them that apprehend that offering. Christ's work is not dependent on your apprehension of it. But your everything is dependent on your apprehension. That you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I want you to visualize wanting nothing. Actually, that says lacking nothing.
If you lack nothing,
you want. How can you possibly lack nothing? Only one way. To know that you are standing perfect before God. Innocent before God. That you have lost even the consciousness of sin or trespass. And then to the pure in heart, all things are pure. Then every knee has bowed and every tongue has confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then all things are perfectly serving His purpose. Then you're finally no longer trying to swim upstream. Then the lie of your mind, the lie of the Antichrist, the lie of separation, has for once and for all been dealt with. And you'll never believe the lie again. Now all of the trials and the tribulations that you go through internally have to do with this one point, this one horizon in your own spiritual life within your mind. And that is that you do not, well, that's what I said before, it's spiritual sloth. You rationalize away the power of God by your mind. I don't care. As you know, I was a scientist. I had to have the answers. I couldn't possibly, in my mind, by the way he made me, I couldn't possibly accept, I couldn't rationalize away a particular scripture or a particular phenomenon. I had to have taken it to its fullness. I couldn't rationalize away my inadequacy. I had to see in that magic moment, which happened just very, very shortly after that time in 1972, that I was standing perfect before God. Not because of me, but because of Him. I couldn't have lived like I have for 15 years had I not understood that. Everything else is secondary to you from this moment forward, other than the apprehension of that fact. Not your careers, not your families, not your mothers, not your jobs, not your own life, not your health, not any possible consequence, until you know with a certainty that you are standing continually perfect before the Father, before the God of this universe. Don't let sleep hit your eyelids. Push it to the limit. You're not testing God, you're testing the stupidity of your minds. You're pushing away the sloth that you've allowed yourself to fall into without even knowing it. Don't be satisfied to stay even in a second of unbelief. Now, we've now redefined unbelief. you know, for the church world, unbelief is saying that Jesus Christ doesn't exist. Well, that's okay for a child. But now for you, unbelief is any moment in time, any second, in which you do not know that you are standing perfect before the Father. Do you understand? That's always been the definition of unbelief, but you couldn't have borne, you couldn't bear that before. Now you can begin to understand the scriptures, all the nice great sayings that are preached by Christ. It's only when you're standing in that position of total and complete knowledge and faith, of acceptance, perfection, holiness, that you can say with what Jesus said, "Whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven." Say to that mountain, "Be cast into the sea, and it shall be done for you." Because you've overcome the evil one. This thing you've called your mind and worshipped all these years, which is in truth the Antichrist. Not that you've ignored your mind. You each have a particular form of mind that God has created so that your testing will be unique to you. So that testing will be precious, exactly as it should be, to fit into the universal body of Christ. Don't ever, ever, from this moment forward, begrudge your own test. It's unique. It's perfect. Your uniqueness is precious. Don't let anyone ever mold you or try to mold you into some form or creation that they've created. Don't be Lynchburged. Jerry Falwellized. Now, I said earlier, and when we took the break, the primary reason I took the break is I wanted to hug Harry. Because Harry made a massive spiritual breakthrough tonight. He probably doesn't even understand it. But for the first time since I've known him, close to 9 years, he has felt compassion for someone else. True compassion. Now he can understand what abandonment of self means. Now he can understand what Job said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes." And Job's captivity is turned. Prayed for his friend or brother. Now that doesn't just say, "Oh, I pray for you." It means when you with your heart have felt the pain of someone else, that's the prayer. Because then you are suffering with, not in some intellectual position, but experientially, you have become in truth a mystic. You have discarded all forms of Gnosticism, of only knowledge. You have experienced body, soul, and spirit what you know. That's what you mean. It means to be fully sanctified. Amen? Now don't ever let that dam start to be built up again. Now, for each one of you, you can begin to feel the joy of exposure, the joy of abandonment of self, the joy of having you no longer the subject of the sentence. Now you can begin to give to God what truly satisfies Him. The sweet odor of Christ. And He'll take you so fast you won't even know what hit you. The offering now is the burnt offering that you can participate in. For all these years you've been giving trespass, you've offered yourself a living sacrifice, but that for a long time it was the trespass offering. 50,000 times trespass offering, over and over and over and over, just like Israel did. Then every once in a while some of you understood the sin offering. So you'd offer yourself and you understood that sin wasn't something you did, it's what you were. Now, once you understand those two, now you can understand and apprehend the burnt offering. Now, you can present your body the living sacrifice when the sin offering and the burnt offering have been dealt with. And it's the offering that satisfies God. It's a biggie. We're talking biggie. Doesn't matter the condition of the external encasement. You have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. Now, God will always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. We are always a sweet-smelling savor to God, both in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are savor of life, unto life. For the other, the savor of death unto death. Same odor. Who is sufficient for these things? None. That you may be perfect, entire, lacking nothing. Now you can understand some of the simple words of Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. This is it, folks. And all these things shall be made unto you with no effort on your part. Now it's the Father's good pleasure to freely give you all things. When you've stopped the struggle, you've discarded the lie. Now, come on, world, we're ready. I don't care if it's just two or three of us that have heard it in truth. Now we're ready. Some of you may have just gotten a partial glimpse because there's still some scales in your eyes. Doesn't matter. God's going to rip those scales off. Again, I say to you, 2,000 years ago, a group of people far less equipped than you are turned the world upside down because they did one singular thing. They brought forth fruit necessary for repentance, necessary for turning from themselves, necessary for turning from the selves of others. The destruction and complete destruction and turning to dust of all idolatry. Through you now you shall be the stone. It's going to fall on all bunches of things. And it's going to crush to small dust the idolatry of time and space. Because there is not one of you that can honestly say you have any more idols. Do you understand how biggie? Now that's a biggie. You may think you have an idol every once in a while, but if you get out of your position of spiritual sloth and push that idolatry against what you know, that idol doesn't stand a chance. If the moment that you are concerned with self, if you push that to the point, go through the process. Push it through the trespass offering, push it through the sin offering, and see it as the burnt offering, the offering of perfect acceptance, the offering of holiness. Understand? A little bit?
It's like sloth is kind of like being in a trance or a daydream or something. You know, you just kind of.
It's being like.
Detached from the reality.
Ephesians says. Ephesians again. Remember I've told you before. Ephesians is similar to the book of Joshua. And in Ephesians, when you read Ephesians, you can't understand it unless you understand that you are now in the promise. It's not the promise someday, it's now. And in Ephesians, it's the cry for you to awake from your sleep. Awake, you that have fallen asleep in life, that have chased vanity and shadows and given them breath, and given breath to the breath of shadows. And whatever you give breath to, you worship. And whatever you worship, you give life. God demands exclusive worship. He's a jealous God. And He won't share His glory with any of those idolatries. No, you don't have to do them anymore. Okay, now we're ready to study the burnt offering. Amen? Take it big, guy.